This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Paul and Fiona and Matt and Dylan, and we are joined in the studio by Chloe Black of Transistor Sister. Good morning.
Hi there, how are you going?
So part of the Fringe Festival here in Melbourne, give us a quick rundown very briefly of your show, but we really want to talk about your journey in terms of performance
and understand
how you've come along to this current moment.
I've done like lots of different festivals. I feel a little embarrassed every time I say this, because I feel like I'm bragging, but it sounds like I'm not. But this is like my 18th year doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, so wow. Fab.
I've done like lots of festivals before and I've done lots of comedy, but this, like, I only came out as trans almost three years ago next month. And so, but there's this thing where I couldn't give up comedy. So I was like, well, I'm transitioning now. Oh, this is what I'm talking about on stage. So that became a big part of it, was like kind of going through a creative process of like, because I didn't want that to be my trick. I didn't want to be the trans comedian. But also just going, well, these are experiences that are happening to me and they're unique, and I was constantly finding funny things happening. So
how did you feel incorporating that into your work over the past few years? Like, I mean, previously obviously you weren't talking about it specifically, but when you started to incorporate stories about potentially your transition or post-transition, what was that like?
It was great. It was really good. I mean, I can't lie, really. Like, it affords me a point of difference, you know, being a performer, and so I'm just going to exploit that.
lots of different material than most other stand-ups.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, there's a few other transgender comedians that are on the map. So, you know, Jordan Raskopoulos has got that large, big profile and stuff like that. But there are a few others around the place, and so, you know, I'm nothing new. But like that, as well as, you know, there's some. But it's like it was a fun challenge. It was like let's make it like something that straight people can kind of like learn from, and then queer audiences can go, oh yes, I know that.
Yeah, how did audiences? I was actually going to ask that. Like, how did audiences respond? Like, in terms of, did you have people approach you potentially after a show and say, oh well, like I never had considered that before, or that did teach me something?
A little bit, yeah. A few people have just said that was really amazing, or thanks very much, like that. Like, and so you know, and yeah, so there have been, there's never been. No one's come up and said, you've changed my life, but...
there's still time.
Exactly.
So let's just go back a few years. How did you first get into stand-up? Because that's quite a scary thing to try and do as a performance piece of work.
Yeah, well, actually, I talk a bit about this on stage as well, is for many years I was actually a poet. Or, like, I wanted to be a poet. I actually self-published some books, and I would go to poetry readings. Like, this is, like, back in the day, I don't show off my age, but, like, places like the Dan O'Connell and, like... the other places. but that's where I learned to get my stage legs, I suppose. Like, you kind of have a few cheats available. You can, like, read from a piece of paper, and you don't have to be totally, like, amazing and dazzling. But then there became this fun thing of writing things that were genuinely just there to get laughs and be funny. And to the point where I was living in Adelaide and doing this poetry that, like, people were finding hilarious. And then my friend of mine, is Justin Hamilton, actually said, you really should, like, try raw comedy, because this is really funny and what you're doing is very different and funny. And so, and then I quit poetry next week. So I made it to the national final back in 2001.
Wow.
So, yeah. Look at me now.
So. But it was a transition from poetry to, I guess, more stand-up comedy. Because I always wonder, I mean, I don't have a funny bone in my body, but is it something that people, were you aware... Did you need other people to tell you that you were funny to be validated and be like, oh, this is something I should do? Or were you kind of aware, like, oh, no, I can be funny. Like, I've got the jokes.
No, yeah, I think I was constantly, like, It's taken me so long to get to the point where I can trust my funny bone now. And I think it happens to lots of comedians. It's that point where I still feel like I'm experimenting when I think of a new joke. I've got to try that out next gig. And then when I get there and I go, God, is it even funny at all? Is it interesting? What will people think? I have no idea. And then, you do it. And so after you do that, 1,000 times, you might go, oh, hang on, I might be a bit funny now.
But you'd often find that with comedians. There's lots of autobiographies where a lot of comedians have gone on to actually, they are racked with self-doubt. And even the ones who make it to be very famous still go out with new material with a sense of panic and stage fright that you just don't assume that goes along with that. But stand-up itself is a difficult genre.
Yeah, yeah.
And quite an exposing one.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of think of I still get nervous. After doing it for so long, I still get nervous. And I find the nerves are a bit like a co-pilot now. When the gigs when I'm not nervous, and I think, oh, I did this last night, I'll just breeze it in, it's fine. I end up I forget things. I forget to put tags on the end of jokes. The energy's not there. And I do well, but I come off stage going, oh, I missed those three lines.
Nerves are like a motivating force almost. You're running with them. So you need to make sure. Yeah, you're more switched on maybe because you're feeling. Yeah.
And of course, it's the audience. And how much do you work with the audience in your show?
A little bit. I'm not a crowd work comedian, so I'm not sort of like, hey, what do you do? That's not my thing. But
it's a safe place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone's safe. Everyone's safe in my show. It's very
That's
inclusive.
That's good. I mean, I go to comedy shows with friends, and they're like, I am not sitting in the front row.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally.
That's right. No, I'm more scared of you than you are of me. So that's right. But I don't do much crowd work. Oh, I'd love to, but I just watch other comics do crowd work from afar and go, wow, I can never do that.
So how did it feel the first time you said you performed for a long time as a man before you started performing as a woman? So how did that transition go on the first time you actually made that change? Was it like a whole new you and identity and material?
Kind of. I think it's funny that you said journey before, because I have a bit about that in my show. I don't really like the word journey. It sounds like I'm a master chef or something.
That's true.
But I came out as a transvestite for a really brief window of time. There was about 3 to 6 months where I was hey, everybody, I adore women's clothes and I've been wearing them in private for decades. Nobody knows this about me and this is who I am and this is what this is something about me. And obviously, it turned out to be a lot more than that. But I started doing stand-up about being a transvestite. Mm-hmm. And so for Hobart audiences, it was wow, you've gone full on now, okay.
Oh, right.
Right. So that was so I had sort of been testing the waters that way, but although that was still nerve-wracking, it was the comedy community in Hobart is just awesome. It's so supportive and so wonderful and inclusive. And so everyone was like, yeah, go do it, try it.
Oh, that's such great news. And of course, you're here with Fringe, so there'll be so many other, queer comedians and queer performers overall that you could, talk and be around and hang out with. It would be fun to hang out with all those kooky comedians.
Yeah, exactly. There's a really good crew around.
I feel like I read, and I could be wrong, but at Melbourne Fringe this year, there's a surplus of 775
LGBTIQ performers.
Incredible.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, it's massive.
That's amazing.
It's one of the most inclusive festivals.
Amazing.
That is so cool. That's so cool.
And so how does your show come together? Is it you just on stage on your own? Do you have any support with you? Do you actually take your...
Yeah, I don't have anybody else on stage with me. I have a bit of a PowerPoint presentation.
PowerPoint.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a comedian's best friend. So I'm really into anagrams. And so I have a few anagrams in my show that I kind of like to show on the big TV screen and stuff. It's an upgrade. I've gone from a flip chart to to a full screen with a big television and everything. But but it is just me. I don't have a sidekick or anything.
And with the audience participation, do you bring them into the performance as well?
No, not at all.
No.
But it's funny because when I do the anagrams, I can always pick the people in the audience who are trying trying to fault me on them. So like they just stop laughing and just looking like intently at them and stuff.
I thought people want to shout stuff out as well, though.
Maybe that would be the one time I might call someone out and go, I can see you trying to pick it out.
So can you give us a hint of some of the anagrams? Does it work if you don't have the PowerPoint for our listeners?
Maybe, I don't know, and whether I can say them on the air. There's no swears, but the words plebiscite for no same-sex marriage is a complete anagram of the words ram me please sir for I excite bogans.
Oh my god, that's so good.
That's gold.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Can we have another one?
I'm trying to think because, like, I do a bit of a joke where I say, that's right, anagrams are really just about pulling out the rude words and making something from that. So like, there's some I can't say on the air. There's some I definitely can't say on the air.
So I love the diversity of the Fringe Festival. Just listening to you now is great because it just tells you exactly, you know, Melbourne has got a great reputation for a whole bunch of festivals, but the performances that we've got in this festival this year have truly been quite different and inspirational, and that's the diversity that I think that makes it so great.
Cool, yeah. It's an amazing festival. It's been like, I mean, just this year, it's been 8 years since I've done a festival show. So, like, this is my first show in like that, just that long. So, yeah. Like,
so, tell us where your show is and when it's on.
It's on at Pilgrim Bar and Cafe, which is along the wharf at South Bank, and it's on 8:30 p.m. It's running right till the 28th, but there's this little game, the grand final on Thursday. No show Thursday, that's all. So,
well, that's because the Pilgrim Bar will be absolutely overrun.
Well, it was like the state final last night. It was just like South Bank was just chock-a-block.
Yeah.
But that room at the Pilgrim Bar is nice and intimate too. It's lovely, a lovely spot.
Yeah, I've got to be careful I don't can and kick anybody in the front row.
And if people want to get tickets, where do they go to?
Melbournefringe.com.au, obviously, at the Fringe website. But tickets are also available at the door.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great, Chloe.
And the name of the name of the show again, Chloe?
Oh, sorry. It's just Chloe Black in Transistor Sister.
Transistor Sister, at the Fringe Festival. Well, it's been fabulous talking to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah,
no worries.
Good luck. Good luck with the show.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks heaps.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.